The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on The Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.
When we want to say, hey, we've got a concert coming up, if you don't know much about music, let me tell you a little bit about why this concert is going to be great. And so I think it's very important to be able to give that message through words.
That's conductor Gemma New. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, and this is Cut and Paste, St. Louis Public Radio's Arts and Culture podcast. Let me tell you a bit about Gemma New. She is from New Zealand. She's in her third year as resident conductor at St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. That's a job created for younger musicians on the rise. She is 31 years old and seen as a rising star in this world of conducting. In fact, it was just announced that she will make her debut with New York Philharmonic in November. New led the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra's opening night concert. She was actually the first woman ever to do that and the first resident conductor to have that honor. I met with her a few times in the week leading up to that concert. I sat in on a rehearsal. I poked around a bit backstage on opening night. And that was for a radio feature, which has already aired. You can hear it on our website. This episode of Cut and Paste is an extended version of the conversation I had with Gemma New right after rehearsal. Since I recorded it on location at Powell Hall rather than in our studios, it does sound a little different from other Cut and Paste episodes from an audio perspective, but I thought folks would like to hear more of what she had to say. So I asked Gemma New to tell me about how she got the job of resident conductor.
They held an audition and had several candidates, and we got to meet the youth orchestra, rehearse them, get to know them a bit, and then I auditioned with the St. Louis Symphony. And I have to say, we did the beginning of Beethoven's Second Symphony, and the very first chord is one that you must have no fear for. You must give the upbeat with a lot of strength and absolutely do not be nervous or have doubt about where that downbeat is, and imagine the sound before it happens. And so I did that, and I imagined a glorious sound to come out, and then when they played, it was so beautiful and brilliant, and I loved the sound, and immediately then I felt like this was going to be a good relationship. So yeah, it was nice. Love at first sight.
You felt like you had that thought process at the podium?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's a hard beginning because with Beethoven especially, he's strong and forceful sometimes even. But it cannot have hesitation. And when you meet an orchestra for the first time, you naturally want to have fear or some kind of hesitation because you want to listen and appreciate and understand before you go in and say, right, here we are. And you don't know what the sound is going to be. So you're imagining something. You've got something in your mind, but you don't know exactly what it's going to be. So there's uncertainty. And I think of it more like, you know, just go in and be fearless, and just ignorance is bliss. We don't know what's going to happen, but we have lots of hope for it. And so it's a really fun experience to go through that thought process, and then for the sound to be so stunning, it was really positive.
And here you talk about that. It reminds you of language that a lot of actors use in terms of being present in the moment to moment, not even necessarily thinking of the arc of the performance.
Ah, that's interesting. Yes, I mean, we do come with a plan. Every conductor prepares a plan, but then it's always a two-way conversation between, or a many-part conversation between all the musicians, and so it becomes very organic. Even the audience has a part to play. If the audience gives a lot of energy, you will find that the orchestra may stretch some things out and be louder and more majestic in parts, or even faster because they get that energy from the crowd. So it's a really organic thing, how the hall sounds, you know, how we feel, what time of day it is. Everything changes, and so it's I like it, you know, always on the spot.
One of the pieces on that opening night program was Edward Elgar's Enigma Variations. I asked Jeminu to tell me what interests her about that piece.
So they're all little miniatures of different characters and personalities and stories. One is where Elgar found himself bike riding and got stuck in a storm with his friend, and they had to run to the nearest house, and there's a lady who has a stutter, and you can hear that in the music. There's a bulldog who loves, they throw the stick at the beginning of the variation, and he runs into the water and he gives a big bark and he gets his stick and then he comes out and triumphant. So there's lots of character that that is fun to bring out, and that's what we work on in rehearsal, honing in an interpretation. And that's the weirdest harmony he could possibly choose, right? I think you can hit it even more even and legato. One more time. That's really nice. It is supposed to be fun. Just playing around on the keys, you know. Let's do it once for us. We will keep working at this. I think as a conductor, I'm more of a, as we've talked about, more of a collaborative conductor, rather than a dictator telling people what to do. And you could say, well, every group needs a leader, though. And I would say, absolutely. It's just that my job is to bring everyone's interpretations together and unite them. And to everyone's gifts and unite them. And that does not necessarily mean I have to tell people what to do. If you give others the space and the freedom, but also the responsibility to shine with their part, with all the experience that they're bringing to the table, then they often feel a lot more valued, and they will be able to, and they'll be inspired to do their best, and also they'll feel more comfortable to do their best. So that's always my philosophy on conducting.
Now, this is the nature of your business, but could you tell me a bit about traveling and showing up in a town and working with a large group of people on a piece as intricate as the pieces you work on, and just how you relate to a group of musicians in a room that you may or may not have relationships with or have worked with before?
Sure. Well, every week is very different. So this past week, I was at Forest Park, and then I immediately flew to Hamilton, where I'm music director of the Hamilton Philharmonic Orchestra. So I know that group very well. It was the first time of the season for them as well. So it's a really good time to meet again and get to work again with people that you're really familiar with. But
there was another Elgar in that program.
There was, yes, cello concerto. But when you go to an orchestra, say next week I'm going to LA Chamber Orchestra, and I've never worked with them. I know a few of the players from other orchestras that we've worked in before, but yes, it's a very different experience. And what I do is I'll fly out there the day before, and in the first rehearsal, I'll listen really carefully to what the orchestra's giving. And that is always a great foundation on which we can then hone an interpretation. So it's a lot of listening, and it's a two-way street of working together to provide a united message for the concert.
So it's not necessarily the conductor, you roll in with your concept for how it's supposed to sound and you mold everyone into that. It's more of a give and take.
It's more of a collaborative approach. I think these days, especially with conductors moving much more than they used to, and getting to work with orchestras right there, fresh in the moment, you have to be so receptive to what the orchestra gives, because they've been playing in, say, St. Louis Symphony has been playing in Powell Hall for many, many years, and they know how the hall responds to their sound. And so you've really got to listen to that. That's a gift. That's valuable information that a conductor always must take into account when we get there to get to know who you're working with.
At this point in your life and times, a job like resident conductor here, how big a deal is that to your career? How much of an opportunity is this for you?
It's an amazing opportunity. I'm very grateful to be here because I'm learning a ton, and I've able to gain a lot of experience. But I think more so, my eyes are open to a world-class orchestra. And these musicians, just from being around them and hearing them play and learning how they prepare and how they work together in rehearsals, and then to see that how it all comes together for the concerts, this is absolutely fantastic for me to see and to learn from them. And they're very open and engaging, and it's always wonderful to be able to have that collegial spirit. So I feel very nurtured here, and also very excited by the opportunities. I get to conduct such a wide range of music. So, you know, sometimes it's movies, sometimes it's pops, Christmas concerts, then it's like family, where I get to speak a lot to the audience and really teach our young ones about music and how great it is. And then other concerts like this one this weekend, which is a full subscription program, is another beast entirely. So it's a really great variety of work.
Well, I notice they do have you scheduled for a lot of the film soundtracks and all the Christmas concerts and stuff like that. Is that is that interesting work for you?
Oh yeah, I mean, Star Wars, come on, I love that movie. It's gonna be great. Yeah, lots of fun.
Well, I imagine that's not why you started studying music though, right?
Oh, you know, I am sometimes asked, do you specialize in a certain type of music? And I would say, absolutely not. My favorite piece is the one that I've got on my desk that I'm studying at the moment, and I obsess with it. I really learn every single nook and cranny about that piece and learn what all the gems are about it, what the best parts of the piece are, and cherish that. So whether it's a movie score or Elgar's Enigma Variations, I want to find the best out of it.
I think you're known for your study of the text, right? You memorize the score frequently, don't you?
Yeah, frequently. Well, it helps, because being a conductor, you need to communicate, and one part of that is with your eyes. So if your eyes are looking down at your score, you're missing that part of the communication with the musicians.
This might come more into your life and with your role in Hamilton, but in 2018, are organizations like Hamilton or like St. Louis Symphony Orchestra looking for more from you than artistic leadership? Is there like an element of marketing and personality and being yourself as a person in addition to being a musician? Do you find that organizations are looking for that from you?
Yeah, absolutely. Just yesterday I was in Canada. We were doing podcasts. But this is music. It's talking about music. It's engaging with our audience in many different ways through social media, audio, video, so that when we want to say, hey, we've got a concert coming up and it's going to be really great, you can trust us. But also, if you don't know much about music, let me tell you a little bit about why this concert is going to be great. And so I think it's very important to be able to give that message through words, because often when I program a concert, there's an overall theme. Whether you know a lot about music or a little bit, that theme you're going to be able to relate to as a human being in our great society. So for everyone to be able to understand, okay, this is, when you come out this night tonight, this is what the concert's going to be about. This is kind of the overall theme. And then to have that relatable idea means we're already on the same foot. And I think people feel more comfortable that way.
I think this business has had personalities that do not respond to the public that well, who are just about the work, and people who are enormous personalities where that's part of the draw. Where do you see yourself in that continuum? Are you comfortable sort of having your personality up front as maybe part of the hook for people?
Absolutely. I love music and I love sharing it with people. So if we're talking about music, I'm very happy to share ideas with others.
But not about what?
Well, and you know, if you want to chat about the life of a conductor or something, you know, some idea that we can have a discussion about, then that's fine too. Yeah, absolutely. You know, in this role, traveling around the world, I get to meet a lot of really amazing people, people who love music, who are from all walks of life, and it's always a joy to get to know them.
And I had intended to ask you about your interest in new music. That's something that's very important to you, to your practice, right?
Oh, yes. New music is our music. It's music of today, our society, our generation. So I think it resonates with people on a closer level, perhaps, than music of the past. In some ways, it should do that. So I think it's always exciting to have the composer there. Aaron J. Kernis was here this weekend. And to have a piece of today where a composer can say, this is my piece, this is my message, and people hear it for the first time. It's one of the most exciting things. And then it becomes part of our repertoire, part of history.
Do you feel like this is a place that's interested in that also?
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, to have this piece by Aaron J. Kernis on the opening week, that tells me it's important. And we have a piece by Thomas Addis in the other subscription concert I'm doing in the spring. I got to work with him this summer, and he's a leading composer in the world and conductor, just the most incredible, complex, intricate, and deeply intense and beautiful music. So it's going to be a joy to do that piece as well.
That was Gemma New, resident conductor at St. Louis Symphony Orchestra and music director at Hamilton Philharmonic in Ontario, Canada. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, and this is Cut and Paste, St. Louis Public Radio's Arts and Culture Podcast. Our intro and exit music is by Eric Hall. Back there, you heard some of Gemma New and St. Louis Symphony Orchestra rehearsing Elgar's Enigma Variations. You also heard a little bit of Sir Colin Davis conducting London Philharmonic in the 11th Variation, that one about the dog. You can find Cut and Paste at STL Public Radio or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cut and Paste is sponsored by Gemma, architects, planners, and designers.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.